morning, everybody. I'm Melissa Nielsen with Waldorf Essentials. Was like transitions. And I sort of laughed as I was typing out the description because it is a little bit like when we are going through transition in labor. It can be painful for you because the transition time has to happen here for us. It's already happening for them. It's happening them in their whole body. They have been seeing it coming. They have been in angst. And we're talking about children that are 9 and up. So they've gone through the 9-year change, and man, that was probably traumatic. I have 5 children, and it was fairly traumatic for 3 of them. Sam was kind of smooth sailing. He was really easy, but he's a really laid-back kid anyway. I'm not really looking forward to going through that with Soraya. So Kimberly Parsons says, are there drugs for this transition? Sorry. Not like when you're in labor and you're like, I need the Pitocin now. Or you're doing your labor breathing, but it feels a little bit like that. It feels a little bit like, because it's traumatic for us. It's traumatic, especially if this is your oldest child. And traumatic in the way that we prepared and we did all of this stuff for early childhood. Or if you came to the Waldorf Method late, you might be feeling like you had to play catch up because you missed some things. And I would just want to say to you that the transition will be better and smoother if you can come to terms with it in your own heart and in your own mind. So that just means that you have to realize that there are opportunities and times for you to give them, let their wings fly a little bit, you know, just give them those wings a little bit. That doesn't mean you're like hauling them off and kicking them out the door, but it does mean that you are allowing them to open up a little bit. You're allowing them that space, especially if they are the oldest child and there's a lot of younger ones. They're going to really be feeling like, I got to get away from all these babies. And that is a perfectly normal thing to feel. A perfectly normal thing to feel. So if you have a child that's 9 and up and you're starting to feel that resistance, maybe they're getting crankier at their younger siblings than they've ever been, you might want to really look at giving them some space. And I'm not talking about, oh, you have to change your living arrangements or anything like that. One of the things that Sam started to do, he was about 10 when he started to do this. He started getting up earlier so that he could read by himself without Soraya like in his face. And they're really close and really tight and they play really well together. And I have no doubt in my mind that they were together on the other side. They are amazing children together. And 9 times out of 10, there is zero conflict until she starts getting on his last nerve. And then he'll just start picking at her. And, oh, it's not pretty. And it's because he's not had that space. And when he's had the space, he's a, you know, happy-go-lucky kid. He loves her to death. You know, they curled up and slept in the same bed for a long, long time because they have such a close relationship. And so as they're getting older, you know, I want to make sure that she's not feeling the, why doesn't he like me thing? Because it happens with the siblings as they get older. I remember watching it with Eleanor when, because there's 5 years between she and Sam. And there was a period of time when he was not the moldable, cute, easy little boy for her to command anymore. And then he had all these opinions. And then she started making that shift away from him. And super traumatic for Sam. And they're, you know, it's taken them a while to really sort of mend that back. But it happens. And so, you know, I think that you really have to look at that older child and make sure that you are giving them the tools that they need to make that separation and feel good about those things. So what I want to also focus on is let's talk about gift giving for the older child, and then let's talk about curriculum content for the older child. Gift giving for the older child. You know, if you've been a Waldorf family for a long time, you are used to giving sweet, thoughtful little gifts that they can carry in their pocket that were made by you. And I'm not saying those gifts are going away completely, but you know, there comes a time, and some kids are different than others. You know, some kids, especially I've seen a lot of girls stay in this, like being okay with these sweet handmade gifts for longer. And some boys for sure. I mean, Samuel definitely has such a sweet demeanor that he would take anything that I gave him and not complain. He might wish that it had some Ninja Turtle thing on it, or that it was in some way, you know, a little more manly, but he would take it and be like sweet as could be about it. So, but there's this transition that sort of happens. So what I notice is they're starting to ask for different things. So my kids aren't super commercial. I mean, yeah, we go to Disneyland and things like that, but they're still not very, they're not very materialistic children with regards to commercial things. So I haven't watched that end of it happening, but if you are a more commercial family, you're probably going to be hearing a lot more of the I wants in that direction. What I'm hearing this year is he's a huge fan of the graphic novel series Mouse Guard, and he really wants this role playing game that he's going to play with his buddies and that are all his age. And so he's at that place, and I go, what is he ready for? And because I'm thinking, that's when I think role playing game, I think Dungeons and Dragons, and I'm thinking, is he old enough for that? But Mouse Guard tends to be for sort of the 12-year-old, 10, 12-year-old set. And so I find it very interesting, the requests that are coming for Christmas gifts as they're getting older. So my older boys, they were still very much into Lego at Sam's age, but they wanted much more complicated sets, much more complex things. Seems like Harry was really into Lego Mindstorms at that point, was very much into robotics. And so, you know, it's looking at sort of what their interests are. And being okay with that. You know, some boys that are getting older, they might really be into woodworking if that's something that's important to your family. So be thinking about things that maybe are a little bit different. One of the comments on here, Kimberly says, reducing media helps with the asking. Oh, yes, it does. And one of the things that's really interesting to me is I didn't catch this, and this is more of a comment about Soraya, and it thankfully went away really fast, but I didn't catch the Toys R Us catalog that we don't even go there. And it was, of course, in our mailbox about a month ago, and she latched onto it, and I was like, oh, are you kidding me? She latched onto this one toy that I said, I'm not keeping this whole catalog. So she tore the one page out, and I thought, are you kidding me? I'm going to have to figure out how to buy this thing that I really don't want to buy, and or talk her out of it. And she had gone to the store. It was that this craze right now, this toy that hatches and makes all this noise. And I kept saying to her, do you hear any other toys in our house? Because toys in our house don't make noise. And she was like, I know, Mommy, but I really want this. And then they went to some store, and she saw something that made her go, you know what, I don't need that. So prayer works, ladies. So just keep praying about that one. Hatchimals. Yes, Kimberly. It was just the gag. So anyways, back to the bigger kids. Don't let them be snookered by some of the advertising. So when you see it, just I would, with an older child, you could say, like Soraya was just trying to plain talk her out of it. But with an older child, you can say things like, what is appealing to you about this? What is it that you really like about this? Especially if it's something that you're not really keen on buying. So you ask those questions. Find out what it is that's so appealing about this toy or this game or whatever it is, and really work to understand it. And that helps a lot. It also helps with building bridges with them, because they're already in a place where they're really feeling that separation from you. And there's nothing you did for that. There's nothing you can do to fix that except for stay open. They will come back and be closer again in their teenage years, but there is this separation that's happening right now that you really see a lot of between 9 and 12. And that's really this age group that we're talking about so much. So from about third grade on up. And so, like I said, they're asking for different things for Christmas. Take the time to really find out what it is that they're asking for and why. Even if it's something that's full of plastic, even if it's something that you wouldn't normally buy, even if it's, you know, something that makes you like repulsed when you look at it, take the time and look at it. I remember when Harry was about Sam's age, maybe it was Jacob. They wanted the Kinects stuff, and man, those pieces, there's Kinects crap that's just, and again, I said crap, sorry. everywhere. And I remember thinking, I really don't want this, but it was something that I allowed grandma to buy, and then she could keep it at their house, and they were there often enough. And because they wanted like this big roller coaster, this Kinex roller coaster, and it was gigantic. I didn't know where the heck I was going to put it, and I was able to say, Mom, that's just really not super practical. Can we keep it here? And Mom, if you're watching, hi. And it's I think it's still at her house, or at least it was before she moved. She may not have taken it with her. But it was something that then they could play with and build there, and which made it great for her house there, because then what happens when they get older, then and you're trying to entertain them at grandma's house, the only thing to entertain them with often is media or a book, and sometimes it can get old fast. But my mom, I know, enjoyed the fact that the boys had something to really do while they were there, and it was a big. You know, it was this big thing, and they could do that at her house. So think about, don't be repulsed by things like that. The reason why I liked the Kinex was because it was an engineering toy, and they were thinking about things, and they were older. So like I said, they were 10 and 12 at the time, and so really consider those gifts that they're asking for, and figure out why. A mom asked me the other day, her son was 14, and they are no media house. They have one computer, and they don't have a television. And she said, "Is this a time that I should be thinking about buying him a laptop for Christmas, or an iPad, or something like that?" And again, it depends on the child for one. It depends on what their interests are for two. So when our boys were about 14, and I think they're about 12 and 14, so it was mostly Harry. So he's the oldest. He had a game that he wanted to play with a boy down the street. And again, he's the oldest, and I want to give him that space to separate a little bit, so that we want to allow them to be treated a little bit differently because they're older and hopefully showing more responsibility. We had a family laptop that wasn't being used, and so he was allowed to have the use of that for this specific purpose. So if you are going down that road, make sure you're putting parental controls on things. Make sure that it's in a family space and not taken to their room. Make sure that it is so that everybody can see it. I prefer a family computer over just one child's computer when they're in the 12 to 14 age. But when Ellie was, she's 16 now, and she was 14, 15 years old, she had money that she had earned, and she saved it up for a Chromebook. And so that's a lighter computer. It's mostly getting on the internet, working with Google Docs and things like that. And so then the question is, at what point do you allow them to do their homework on the internet or their schoolwork on the internet? So from about 14 up, I think it's important that we are giving them typing skills. And so there's a lot of online free typing programs that I would definitely allow an older child to be learning those skills. Because even though they don't need the skills of being on a little phone, or they don't need all of those things, we definitely need to empower them with real world skills for the future. In Steiner's time, it would have been shorthand and understanding that. And the older children are doing that. We're doing that in the schools. So we want to make sure that we're giving them the opportunity to develop skills, especially in a time when typing is usually happening with our thumbs, and we have there's a lot of people now that are like, why do I don't even need a computer, I just have this phone, and I'm just gonna do this and swipe. And but we really do need those typing skills. So Harry's been home a few months, and one of the things that he did was go and take a few tests, as far as like clerical tests, and because he doesn't want to work fast food forever. And thank goodness he's got a job at the post office, at least for the holidays. And he's going this morning to start some training for a security guard job. So yay, yay for the not fast food track. But with that, he had to take like a typing test and things like that. So I was thinking, you know, thank goodness we had done that, because, and that we had encouraged the typing at that age, because it allowed them to develop proper habits. Because a lot of kids that don't take any typing, they're typing with one finger on the keyboard, and that's going to take them forever. And so really teaching them how to properly type is definitely a good skill, I think, for the high school student, late middle school student. So I think that if you are a completely media-free household, that's the timing. And even if you're not, that's the timing, is right around, 14 or so. You want to be careful again, make sure it stays in a public area in your home. And it's not something that I ever let them take to their bedrooms until they were much older. So hopefully that helps with regards to that. With regards to the curriculum, and this actually came up when Kimberly and I released the Music Unfolds curriculum. Grades 1 and grades 2 have stories that go with them. And that's because of where the children are. They're in this place of beauty and very much about needing to see the story elements around them, and they're learning through story very much so. So, you know, in first grade with Waldorf, we have the fairy tales, and then in second grade, we have the fable, saints, and hero stories. So there's a very much, even though some of the content of second grade is very much, you know, true stories about things that happen, like the heroes and the saints, they're still very much in a very idyllic story space. It's very much about beauty. And so we want to keep them in that space until they're about 9. And in the third grade, they're starting to learn more concrete concepts about history. And while they're still very steeped in story, that's definitely a backbone of Waldorf. They don't need a story for everything. So there comes a time when they're starting to separate from that. There comes a time when that child doesn't want to have anything to do with, doesn't want to have anything to do with circle time anymore. Doesn't want to have, you know, there, you can feel that bit of independence. You can feel that them moving away from that. And you have to let that happen. You actually have to encourage that. That it's okay, that it's proper development as they're moving through that space. It is absolutely what they should be doing. They should absolutely be moving through that transition. And trying to bring them back into the fold is going to be dicey, and it's going to be a struggle. So when it comes to their schoolwork, you know, definitely you've got the stories for the main lesson, and that should be, you know, that's your strength, that's your anchor. But when it comes to the other lessons, like your music lessons or even your foreign language lessons, they do not need to be riddled with story like they used to be. They've made this transition out of that space. So, like I said, when people have asked us, why aren't there stories for the grade 3? Well, this is why. This is more concrete work. In grade 3 with the music curriculum, that's when they start to learn to read music. So they're not reading music in first and second grade. They are looking at the letters, and they are hearing it. So much is what they're hearing. And then as they're getting older, then they're really into the space about learning how to read the music. And it's such a beautiful space to go into. A job. I mean, Ellie moved from recorder to piano, and Harry moved from recorder to drums. He was very much being able to feel the beat as he was an older child. But then I had a stroke a few years ago, and I really think that it was like somebody needle felted my brain. Oh, she doesn't need that, and she doesn't need that, and she probably doesn't need that either. I don't know what he was thinking or not. But there's some things that I've lost, and so that was one of them. And so I'm going back and relearning as Samuel learns. And the curriculum is fantastic for that. I'm really excited about that. And I just really want you to understand the why of behind the not needing so many stories and not needing them at this age group. So keep that in mind. If you've got a child that is like rolling their eyes at you, like, oh, one more story. Are you kidding me, lady? I'm not saying that they're not going to love stories still, or that they don't really need really good story content to read, but they don't need everything in a story. Everything does not have to have a story or be sing-song. You know, this is probably an age when you're going to get eye-rolling about singing about the cleanup song or some transition song. Unless you've got, you know, a lot of younger kids and they're still really understanding that, they're probably like, why? So just be aware that that transition happens. So after about, I would say at about 14, it starts to calm down a bit and you've gotten through this transition. 13 was really hard in our house for with Eleanor. So that was like the year people say, "Oh, I'm having all these problems, blah 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 blah." And then they go, "And she's 13." I'm like, "Oh, let me just tell you, 13 was freaking hard." 14 was much better than 13, but a lot of things happened in her life when she was 13. I had a stroke that year. There was a lot of things that happened that year. So you have to evaluate the whole thing. Nothing happens in a vacuum. Bad habits, bad behavior, all of those things. When parents come to me and say, "What's going on?" I go, "Okay, well, nothing happens in a vacuum. So let's talk about what's really going on. It's not just about that child. It's about everything that's going on around them. So let's talk about those elements too, while we're looking at the big picture." So with regards to like the transition, then as you're transitioning into those teenage years, like I said, things tend to calm down a little bit. They're not, they don't feel as tenuous. They feel a little more open, and that's when you're going to start to feel that child come back to you a little bit and not be so far away, because there is this time between about 9 and 12 or 12 to 14 where you feel like there's this huge gulf and you go, "What the heck happened to my child and where did they go and I miss them so much." They start to come back when they're teenagers in a very beautiful way. The intellect is born. They want to have real adult conversations with you. They want to talk to you. And so that's a period of time where you have to be open, and you have to, especially if you have younger ones too, you have to be able to separate that out. So when you have a big family, you know, like I said, we have five, there are a lot of things that the little ones don't get shielded from as much as I'd always like. And I'm constantly reminding the big kids to edit or to speak in code, or, "Hey, let's have this conversation over here." And it's dialogue that you have to continue to have with them. When my sweet Jacob goes and he's in Utah, and then he comes to stay here with us, I give him a hug when he gets off the plane, and I remind him, "Remember, we're a house full of young people." And then he, you know, remembers to put his filter on, because they can get unfiltered as they get older. And if you don't think that they do, just because you know, they're with you all the time, oh, they do. There is definitely some filtering that goes on when they're around you, and then they have to be reminded of that too when they're around their younger siblings. So you know, make sure that you give them the opportunity to have that space and to enjoy you without the younger siblings. I think that's immensely important, to be able to spend time with your teenagers that doesn't have anything to do with the younger kids. We were as a family last night, we enjoy Coyote Peterson on YouTube. I don't know anybody else who watches Brave Wilderness. They're great, like nature, little nature shows. So when they're asking for something, I'll go, "Oh, let's watch a little Coyote Peterson." And those last about 15, 20 minutes. And then I go, "Okay, that was enough." And I can turn it off and we can all watch together, and everybody can learn something about the power of the sting, or you know, animals that live in the tide pools near us, or things like that. Anyway, so we were sitting there, and Eleanor blurts out, "Is anybody gonna take me to see Thor?" Like, because we had, like, the big people in our house had already seen it, and she hadn't seen it, and she doesn't usually like go for those movies. And so I just was chuckling. I said, "Do you want mom to take you?" She's like, "Yes, I want you to take me." So there are things that she and I do together that you know, I don't do with all of the other kids. And so create that space within your relationship, because then it allows you to sort of have that bond as they get older. And we're not always going to see superhero movies. She's also the one that I say takes me to like the saddest movies that I want to seriously poke my eyes out at afterwards. But there are definitely some fun movies that she and I go and see because she's older and it's just she and I. And it's something that we've been doing for a few years, and it's very much a bonding thing between mother daughter. And so I want you to really think about these relationships. And if you've just got little ones and you're thinking, "I don't have to think about that for a while," you should start thinking about it now, because they get older so fast, and it will pass you by, and you'll wonder how in the heck, you know, you missed it. Or you'll be like, "Oh man, things feel yucky right now. This is that stuff that Melissa was talking about." Yes, ma'am, it is. So make a plan. Make a plan, and really make sure that your older kids have the space that they need, and also that they feel your love, even if they're feeling prickly and you don't really feel like hugging them right now. Just make sure that they feel the love in your home. So I think that's all. I hope y'all have a wonderful week and calming week, and it's not too over crazy and overstimulating for you or any little people in your house. That's, we really work on calm here. Lots of serenity in the diffuser, lots of calm. So I hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you soon.